Coming up on Telling the Truth, the Ministry of Stuart and Jill Briscoe.
What this is saying is that in the revelation and the purposes of God and the reason of God behind all things, there came a time when God looked at this fallen, hurting, pain-riddled, ugly world that sin had created and decided not to zap it and not to nuke it. He decided to visit it and to come and show this sin-stained, pain-ridden world what God is really like. And he assumed our humanity, bore our griefs, accepted our sin, bore our judgment.
Jesus understands what it means to feel hurt, rejected, lonely. Not just your pain, but everyone's. Today on Telling the Truth, Stuart talks more about God and how he wants us to intimately know him. As we get ready to close out another year of ministry at Telling the Truth, your partnership is more vital than ever to keep sharing Stuart and Jill's wit and wisdom in the year ahead and beyond. And when you give today, your support will be doubled by a $120,000 matching grant. We'll say thanks for your gift with a copy of The Best of 2023, featuring the Briscoes' most loved messages from this year. So call today to have your year-end gift matched and request your copy of The Best of 2023. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, let's get back to Stuart and his message, God with us to reveal himself.
John then brings in a witness, John the Baptist. And he says that John the Baptist, who was related to Jesus of Nazareth, said that whilst he was born, that is, while John was born before Jesus, 3 months before him precisely, John said that whilst he was before Jesus, in actual fact, Jesus was before him. Now, that doesn't do a thing for us today. But remember that John the Baptist had developed phenomenal credibility in those days. People really listened to him. They flocked to him. And John the Baptist was your eyewitness number one, and he was your credible witness number one, and he is the one whom John, having talked about all these ephemeral, vast concepts, now brings in an earthly witness, and he said, this is the one who understands because of his intimate relationship with him, and he's thoroughly credible. He is the one who understands who Jesus of Nazareth is. He is the Word made flesh. So he talks about his identity, and talks about his activity, and he talks about his humility, the Word made flesh. What this is saying is that in the revelation and the purposes of God and the reason of God behind all things, there came a time when God looked at this fallen, hurting, pain-riddled, ugly world that sin had created and decided not to zap it and not to nuke it. He decided to visit it and to come and show this sin-stained, pain-ridden world what God is really like. And he assumed our humanity, bore our griefs, accepted our sin, and bore our judgment. When we think of this revelation, the revelation of the identity and the activity and the humility of the Word, we then come across this remarkable statement. It says that he was in the world, and the world did not recognize him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. So now we have on the one hand revelation, which is stupendous. On the other hand, we have repudiation, which is incredible. The Word comes into that which is by right his own because he made it. Can't argue with that. He comes into that which is by right his own, and he comes to those who live in that which he's created as part of his creation, and they are his own people, and guess what? They don't recognize him. That's what he says. They don't recognize him. Now, it is possible not to recognize somebody simply because you're not in tune with what is going on. And you say, it would be very easy for people not to recognize that Jesus of Nazareth was the Word incarnate because you don't expect the Word to become incarnate. Therefore, you must knock those people. Well, just a minute. If they were around at the time And they saw the miracles he did, and they heard the truth that he spoke, and they saw the way that he lived, and they studied the Old Testament scriptures the way they were supposed to have studied them, they would have known, without a shadow of a doubt, that they were seeing what God had promised over and over and over again, that God would come and dwell with them. Isaiah had said, the virgin will conceive and bear a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. The angel had said it to Joseph. It was common knowledge. He'd been born. He'd lived. They'd seen his testimony. They'd heard about the way he died. They'd seen the evidence of his resurrection, and they still didn't recognize him. Why? Because they didn't want to. There was spiritual blindness there. My mother used to send me to look for things. I could never find them. I could never find them. And she would always say, there are none so blind as those who will not see. There are none so blind as those who will not see. I don't know why I keep quoting my mother. I never took any notice of what she said when she was alive. But it's true. It's true. That there are people who are confronted with the Word made flesh and they don't recognize it. Now, there are some other people who recognize him perfectly well, but they refuse to acknowledge him. There's a difference. You can fail to recognize him through spiritual blindness, or you can fail to acknowledge him through spiritual hardness. We will not have this man to reign over us. There was rank repudiation of Christ. Now, here's the problem. When Jesus came into the world, there were some who just plain didn't recognize him through blindness, but there were others who refused to acknowledge what they recognized perfectly well through hardness. And there were others who couldn't care less about him, and they didn't recognize or acknowledge him or care about him through spiritual carelessness. So what's new? So what's new in the world today? Simple fact of the matter is this, that the Christ has come into the world to show us what God is like. Because of spiritual blindness on the part of some and spiritual hardness on the part of other and spiritual carelessness on the rest. He comes unto his own and his own do not receive him. And the Christ is flatly repudiated. Revelation, repudiation. But let me close on a positive note. You say, oh great, I love it when he says, let me close. Let me close on a positive note because it goes on to say this. But as many as received him. You see, there were those who repudiated, but there were those who received. And the three key words are revelation, repudiation, and reception. Reception. Those who received him, what happened to them? They were given blessing upon blessing. That's what John says here. They received blessing upon blessing. Now, what are the blessings that can come when a human being receives rather than repudiates Christ, the Word, who is the revelation of God? Well, the first blessing is this. He gives you the opportunity to have your eyes opened to the glory of God. This is what John says. We gazed upon him. We watched him intently and we saw his glory. The glory is of the one and only. I like that expression. The glory of the one and only. Let me tell you about the one and only. The Word become flesh who walks around this planet of ours with a little bunch of disciples and they gaze on him and they watch him and they sojourn with him and they spend their days with him and they observe all that's going on and they see his glory. They see the sheer wonder of God manifest in language they can understand, exegeted, interpreted into things that they can grasp. Veiled so they're not burned up with the revelation. And the same is true of men and women who receive Christ today. They receive the sheer blessing of discovering the sheer wonder and glory of God. You know, I wonder if you've ever gone into a worship situation sometime and you've looked at some people's faces and you say, what in the world's going on with them? They seem to be in another world for me. You know, I just hear. I don't even like the music. And these people, they just seem to be out of it. They're sort of transported. You know what's happening? They're sensing something of what God has shown them about himself in this, his son. They're being lifted above themselves. They're not wrapped up in all their mundane, earthly, perfectly legitimate concerns. They're being transported into the presence of God and he's become new and fresh and vital to them. Blessing upon blessing.
That's Stuart Briscoe you're hearing today on Telling the Truth. We'll hear more from him when we return in just a moment. We've got some exciting news to share with you. Some generous friends who love God's Word and want to see it shared with more people around the world have come forward with a $120,000 matching grant that will double your gift this month to keep Stuart and Jill's teaching going out through Telling the Truth. This generous match means whatever you give today will be worth twice as much to share timeless and unchanging truth with more people around the world in 2024 and beyond, helping them experience life in Christ. As thanks for your support this month, we'll send you a copy of The Best of 2023, which includes the most loved teachings this year. And remember, your year-end gift is worth double thanks to the $120,000 match to keep sharing the life-changing truth of God's love with people across the globe through the resources and teaching of Telling the Truth. So be sure to request your copy of The Best of 2023 when you give today. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection. But we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Tell Me the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in Bible reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Tell Me the Truth app through your app store or log on to tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Remember, you can also give to support Tell Me the Truth on our mobile app. Let's head back to Stuart for more of today's message.
Not only that, they receive the blessing of knowing God. Getting into an intimacy of relationship with God where he becomes real and they begin to understand his righteousness and his judgment and his holiness and his grace and his mercy. They begin to have some insight into these things. Jeremiah had a great word for us. He said, "Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. If any man would glory, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands God." If it's might you've got, don't brag on that. If it's wisdom you've got, don't brag on that. If it's riches you've got, don't brag on that. By the way, what sort of things make us put people on pedestals? People who've got power, might. People who've got education, wisdom. People who got money, riches, they're the elites. They're the elites. And we look up to those people. Ah, there's power there. Ah, there's money there. Ah, there's education there. Well, they're all realities we have to deal with, but I want to tell you something. There's something infinitely more important than all the power in the world and all the money in the world and all the education in the world. It is the humblest person knowing God. That's it. We have received blessing upon blessing. We've seen something of his glory. We've come to the point of knowing God. And he said, of his grace we have received grace after grace, blessing after blessing. We've tasted his grace. That's another blessing. Tasted his grace. What does that mean? Well, grace means unmerited favor, first of all. Getting what you don't deserve. But it means more than that. It means getting from God what you don't deserve, to enable you to be what you've never been and to energize you to do what you've never done. Think of that. To have a constant flow of grace from a gracious God that you don't deserve, that will enable you to be what you've never been and energize you to do what you've never done. Blessing upon blessing. Not only that, he said he came full of grace and truth, and we tasted his grace and we grasped his truth. What a joy it would be to live with some degree of certainty in this uncertain world. To really, honestly, genuinely believe that there are some things that are true and some things that are right and some things that are wrong and some things that are good and some things that are evil, and to know the difference. Used to be that that was what education was about, you know. Those days are gone. But the point of it is simply this, that it is possible to know in Christ the truth. You say, truth about what? Truth about God. Truth about humanity. Truth about life. Truth about death. Truth about heaven. Truth about hell. Truth about righteousness. truth about judgment, truth about all the big issues of life. It is possible to know the truth. Now listen, if you receive Christ, instead of repudiating him through spiritual blindness or spiritual hardness or spiritual carelessness, if you receive Christ, you open yourself up to blessings upon blessings, the blessings of sensing the glory of God and being lifted above the mundane, the blessing of knowing God that is far more significant than all the education and all the money and all the power in the world. You know why, don't you? Because you leave them. You say, well, you didn't explain to us how we receive Christ. I'm glad you brought that up. This is what he says. To as many as received him, who believed on his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children of God who receive blessing upon blessing upon blessing. But you don't receive him on the basis of natural birth, and you don't receive him on the basis of human effort, and it doesn't pass in the bloodstream. No, you receive Christ when God does something in your life that is akin to being born of God. It's something that God does that enables you to respond. Do you know what God does? He shows you the wonder of the Word made flesh. He shows you the wonder of Christ's Savior and Lord. He opens your eyes to your own sinfulness in his own Saviorhood. And he creates within you a desire to be forgiven and a desire to live in newness of life. It doesn't come from you, it comes from him. And as he opens your eyes and he touches your heart and he fills your mind with the truth, you have a great desire to commit yourself to this incredibly wonderful, glorious Christ, in order that you might experience blessing upon blessing, and you believe into him. You open your life and receive him. How do you believe into him? First of all, you believe that what the Bible says about him is true. You believe that it is true. And secondly, you trust yourself to that of which you are convinced. Like getting on an aeroplane. You look at the aeroplane and you believe that it flies. Doesn't help you a bit. Then because you believe that it flies, you commit yourself to it and you begin to live in the good of aerodynamics. To believe into Christ, to receive him, means that you believe that he is the Word made flesh who reveals the truth of God to you. That you recognize your need of him, you believe that it is true, and you commit yourself utterly to him without reserve, that he might save you and be the Lord of your life while you live, and the Lord of you when you die. And you anticipate him pouring into your life blessing upon blessing as you live in newness of life. Let me ask you a question. This Christmas time, are you going to be able to get beyond the superficial? Are you going to be able to delve beneath the trivial? Are you going to allow yourself to move into the profound, the Word in the beginning had already been in a state of continuous existence, in the intimate fellowship with the Father, because he himself was God, the creator of all things, the source of life, the basis of light. He assumed our humanity, humbled himself to live our life, die our death, bear our sin, in order that we might know God in all his saving grace, and we might enter into an experience of grace upon grace and blessing upon blessing. What'll it be? Repudiation or reception? That's the challenge of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us, in order that we might face the challenge of whether we will yield to his lordship or whether we'll continue to go our own way.
Will you receive Christ, the one who came just for you? Stuart Briscoe today on Telling the Truth. He's coming right back to answer some questions about today's message. If today's teaching is blessing you, then we have an exciting offer to tell you about. We've pulled together six of the most loved teachings from the Briscoes this year in a special resource called The Best of 2023 that we'd love to send you today as thanks for your gift to help close out 2023 strong. Revisit some of the most powerful messages you've heard this year and be reminded of God's amazing love for you all year long with this special collection. And thanks to a generous $120,000 matching grant, whatever you give today will be doubled to help send the timeless teaching of truth around the world, trusting God to change lives in the year ahead. It's partners like you who make it possible to share messages like this one today with people across the globe. So if you haven't given before, consider a gift today worth double thanks to the match to help God's word going out around the world to you and many others. And remember to request your copy of The Best of 2023 when you call and give. Just call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Stuart with answers to some questions from today's message. Stuart, how does a person become in tune with Jesus so they're able to see him and his work?
I like the expression of being in tune with Jesus. And let me see if I can answer the question by using the analogy that term suggests. How are you going to see the wonder and the beauty of Jesus and begin to understand the enormity of what it is that he is doing? Let me suggest to you that you were given the opportunity of taking your violin and playing with the New York Philharmonic Orchestra in Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Let me suggest to you that if, unfortunately, your violin was not tuned correctly, the noise that you were making would be so out of sync with everything else that not only would you not see the wonder of Beethoven's Ninth and your own role as part of it, but all you'd be able to hear was your own discord in the whole situation. And so going step by step with what Jesus says in trust and obedience is going to give you the opportunity of not being caught up in your own missteps, but it will give you the opportunity of him seeing him work out his purposes because of your trusting obedience.
Stuart, what would you say to that person who's never received Christ and discovered the sheer wonder and the glory of God?
Well, here we are on Christmas Eve, and of course, it means that just about everybody is frantically rushing around, getting all the last-minute things done so that they can celebrate Christmas. And I'd certainly like to take the opportunity of wishing you all a very happy and blessed Christmas. But the problem with the busyness of the Christmas season is that sometimes we can miss the significance of what it is that we're celebrating. We obviously love to think of the baby. We love to think of the animals in the stable. We have a great sense of empathy for the little gal who delivers a baby in the stable, etc., etc. And we're very familiar with the story. But just let me leave one thought with you, and it is this, that we're not just looking at a very beautiful story of a lovely little girl in very difficult circumstances bringing a baby to birth, and even the animals and the angels are being happy about this situation. What we're actually celebrating is the fact that God chose in the person of Jesus to assume our humanity in order that he might live our life, that he might experience our sorrows, that he might die our death and assume our sin and make it possible for us to be reconciled to God. In other words, in one long sentence, I'm simply saying the enormity of the incarnation is something that escapes us in our busyness in celebrating the event. Don't be so busy that you miss the significance of Christ, the Son of God, being born as our Savior.
Thank you, Stuart.
Before you go, we want to remind you of the $120,000 matching grant that will double your gift this month to send the timeless teaching of truth around the world through telling the truth. And when you give, we'll send you the Best of 2023 series with this year's most loved teachings. These encouraging messages will keep you reminded of God's love all next year. So please request your copy when you call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Thanks for listening today. Come back next week for an encouraging Christmas message about the hope, strength, and comfort that comes from knowing God is with you. Experience life next time on Telling the Truth.